Good morning, everyone. Morning. As Jenny said, my name is Andrew Collins, and I've had the honor of being part of this community for almost a year now. Haven't been able to be with you guys as much the past few months because of work obligations, so if you don't recognize me, that's probably why. But I'm really, really, really grateful that you all are here. I'm grateful to be here with you, and I'm honored to share what already is and what I hope will become some truly sacred space together this morning. So as Jenny said, this is a contemplative service. It's quite a bit different from the usual, more churchy things we do on most Sundays. This morning we're going to slow down, spend some time sitting in silence, and reflect, think, and hopefully feel some things too. And specifically, I would like to create some space this morning for some post-pandemic processing. It's been almost 2.5 years now since the COVID-19 virus swept across the globe, ushering in a time of lockdowns, isolation, drastic social disruption and upheavals, unrest, uncertainty, death, misinformation, fear, and so, so much more. And you all lived through it. You don't need me to tell that story, because you each have your own, in your own particular ways that you lived through that and experienced that and struggled and lost and grew. So now that the worst of the pandemic, with its truly drastic measures, I think is safe to say is behind us, the temptation I see right now and that I feel in myself is to try to rush back into this sense of normalcy, to frantically make up for lost time, make travel plans, visit family, go to theme parks or concerts, get out and party, you know, usher in a new roaring 20s after being deprived of so much for so long. But personally, and I think there's something good about that, and I want to bless that. But I also think the path of wisdom here would reflect, to slow down a bit again, and really, really start taking some time to sit with what just happened to us. I've been hearing rumblings and articles I've read and podcasts I've listened to and people I've talked to that a lot of us are still feeling just kind of off in some way. We're dealing with the lingering effects of this collective trauma that we all just went through. A few months ago, I was listening to an interview with this guy named John DeWall, who ironically runs an organization called Liminal Space. Go figure. And he was talking about studies that have been done on people who have been through some sort of life quake, he calls it, which is a drastically disruptive, traumatic event, like the sudden death of a loved one, a divorce, a life-changing illness, things like that. And do you know how long it took someone to get back to some sort of sense of normalcy and wellness after an event like that? The answer is about 3 to 5 years. 3 to 5 years. So quite a while. I can't say from the pulpit here the words that came out of my mouth when I first heard that, but I share that just to say that the aftermath of this pandemic that we've lived through is something we're going to be dealing with and processing for quite a while. And there's a lot to feel and a lot to work through and a lot to unpack here. And I'm definitely not expecting to take care of all of that in a single morning with you guys. I simply want to create a space where we can begin to do this work as a community, as a family, and where we can prayerfully, through contemplation, invite God into that journey, and into that process, and see where the divine has shown up in our lives. And perhaps in that we'll even be surprised or disrupted by what the spirit that dwells in each of us might have to show us. So, kind of laying the groundwork there. We're going to walk through four different stages here that I've mapped out. Moving from disruption and isolation through anger and grief, maybe some pretty gnarly, messy stuff. Ultimately, hopefully, towards healing and hope. And I love that we began with the passing of the peace and just being able to share that with each other and to start from a place of peace, from a place of safety. And I hope within that, we can really do some good processing together and begin to move forward. So, like I said, we'll have four different times of contemplation, times to sit in silence. I'll share a bit about each one of those thematically, kind of what I want to do, and then offer you some questions to consider. You can journal about it. You can just sit and think, receive. I'll share a poem, and then leave you with a piece of art and a really short scripture passage to sit with in silence. So, does that sound good? All right, let's get into it. I'll begin with a prayer for times of change. This is from a wonderful little volume of daily prayer with the Corey Mila community, which is a community that does a lot of reconciliation work in Ireland, I believe. God of yesterday, we knew you then, your promises, your words, your walking among us. But yesterday is gone, and so today we are in need of change. Change and change us. Help us see life now, not through yesterday's stories, but through today's. Amen. God of endings, what we thought would not end has ended, and we find ourselves here wondering where we are and how we got here and where to go from here. Be with us here at the end. Help us place our feet on this ground. Help us lick our wounds. Help us look up and around. Help us believe the story of today, because you know all about the endings of today, and you are not afraid. Amen. All right. First section. Thanks, Jared. So I want to begin with our stories and with the need we have to talk about the pandemic as a multidimensional experience. We've all gone through a wide variety of emotions the past few years, and we've all experienced in varying ways and to varying degrees the painful and stifling effects of isolation and of being cut off from the connection we were meant to have and share together as people made in the image of God. So in light of that, I'd invite you to spend this silence creating some hospitality for all those stories and experiences the way God does. Because God, after all, is in the business of drawing near and of pulling in close those who feel far off, distant, and lonely. So on the screen are some questions for you to consider as we enter into this space. Don't feel like you have to answer all of them, just offering them for your consideration. If you find one resonating, spend some time with it and listen and see what comes up in your spirit. As we begin to sit with these questions, I'm going to share a poem, Alone, by Maya Angelou, to usher us into this space. lying, thinking last night how to find my soul a home where water is not thirsty and bread loaf is not stone. I came up with one thing, and I don't believe I'm wrong, that nobody but nobody can make it out here alone. Alone, all alone, nobody but nobody can make it out here alone. There are some millionaires with money they can't use. Their wives run round like banshees. Their children sing the blues. They've got expensive doctors to cure their hearts of stone. But nobody, no, nobody can make it out here alone. Alone, all alone, nobody but nobody can make it out here alone. Now, if you listen closely, I'll tell you what I know. Storm clouds are gathering, the wind is gonna blow. The race of man is suffering, and I can hear the moan, 'cause nobody but nobody can make it out here alone. Alone, all alone, nobody but nobody can make it out here alone. Let's sit in silence together. time I want to risk getting a little messy. I know for many of us, especially those who have grown up in certain church or religious contexts, the simple act of naming or expressing feelings of anger or conflictedness or doubt has been shut down and condemned. I know it's been my experience in the past, but the reality is that as embodied creatures, we hold these feelings in our bodies, and in order to move through them, they have to find a way out. And one way or another, they will find their way out eventually. So let's allow some sacred space for these feelings, especially what's come up during the time of COVID, to be held and acknowledged. You can journal about it. Take those angry, messy thoughts to God. He does not condemn them. And you do not need to judge or condemn them either. Instead, I'd invite you to consider how your anger and even your doubts from the past several years could be blessed. Anger is not a sin, my friends. It's actually a sign of deep love and care and a holy longing for justice. And there has been a lot to be angry about the past few years. There has. You know as well as I do, I'm sure. So give it space. God can take that, I promise you that. So let's move into some questions to consider. Where are you still holding anger and conflictedness? Who are you angry at? Do you believe that God not only tolerates but blesses your anger? And can you receive that blessing? Even begin to do that this morning, perhaps? And how is the Spirit inviting you to transform your pain rather than transmitting it? That's the trick, I think, to really engage with this in a healthy way. Not let it come out sideways. And that's the redemptive work that Jesus ushers us into, stepping in and breaking that cycle. So I'll give you a few more seconds to sit with these questions and then share another poem, and we'll sit in silence for a while. This one's called "Let the Darkness Be Your Bell Tower" by Rilke. Quiet friend who has come so far, feel how your breathing makes more space around you. Let this darkness be a bell tower, and you the bell. As you ring, what batters you becomes your strength. Move back and forth into the change. What is it like, such intensity of pain? If the drink is bitter, turn yourself to wine. In this uncontainable night, be the mystery at the crossroads of your senses, the meaning discovered there. And if the world has ceased to hear you, say to the silent earth, I flow. To the rushing water, speak, I am. well done. It's not an easy thing to sit in, to sit through. And we're going to stay in this deep, potentially painful, messy place a little bit longer. Holding vigil, honoring our grief. As we come out of a time like a global pandemic that we've been through, we have a deep, deep need, not just in the midst of it, but even as we move out of it, to express sorrow and grief, and to name what we've lost, even if it's complicated by a lot of other emotions. So during this next stage, I'd invite you to take the opportunity to honor someone or something that you've lost during the pandemic. There's so much honor and love in remembering. Every lament is a love song. And that in itself is a holy act. In our scriptures, in the biblical tradition that we've received, lament and grief is this broad, rich category of prayer that doesn't always get talked about a lot in some Christian circles, but I think it's so important to make space for. And we see even Jesus himself practicing this and entering into this, both for himself and on behalf of others. So as we hold vigil, it's okay if you feel incomplete. If this isn't something, that you're ready to just kind of wash your hands of and move on. It's okay if you don't feel ready to let go, to move on, or to return to normal life. Again, this is going to be a process. This is going to be a journey. And God is present with that and present with you every step of the way and will continue to be as each of us walks out of this. And grief, after all, is an ongoing process. It's not something that happens once and is done. It takes time. So don't rush this part. Be gentle with yourself. God himself bears it all with you. We can move to the questions to consider. I'll give you a moment to sit with these. This poem is called Heavy by Mary Oliver. That time I thought I could not go any closer to grief without dying, I went closer, and I did not die. Surely God had his hand in this, as well as friends. Still I was bent, and my laughter, as the poet said, was nowhere to be found. Then said my friend Daniel, brave even among lions, it is not the weight you carry, but how you carry it. Books, bricks, grief, it's all in the way you embrace it, balance it, carry it, when you cannot and would not put it down. So I went practicing. Have you noticed? Have you heard the laughter that comes now and again out of my startled mouth? How I linger to admire, admire, admire the things of this world that are kind and maybe also troubled. roses in the wind, the sea geese on the steep waves, a love to which there is no reply. The love to which there is no reply. Thank you. spent a lot of time in remembrance this morning. A lot of time revisiting some pretty dark spaces of anger, loneliness, confusion, alienation. And without taking anything away from that, and in fact with embracing it, I want to end our time together this morning by looking forward. Maybe even get in touch with a sense of momentum, some new energy and some hope as we move into post-pandemic life. And I want to make space for that, even if some of us, even if you don't feel like you've quite crossed that threshold yet. Even if there's still a lot that you're processing and making sense of over the next several years, I really want to make space for hope, even if it's frail and tender and vulnerable. And I also want to make space for good old-fashioned gratitude, to just give thanks for the good gifts we have received from the good Lord. So I'd like you to engage with any of these intention-setting prompts. I haven't set them up as questions, more as categories this time. Spirituality and health practices, relationships and community, work, play, creativity. Again, maybe just pick one of those three. Whichever one's sort of resonating with you or calling to you. Take a moment to give thanks for what you have received or learned, or for the fact that you've simply managed to survive and to get through the past 2.5 years. That in itself is no small thing. If you have your journal, write down your hopes and goals, name them, pray them, be brave and courageous enough to ask for them. Because sometimes that's where the real risk is, isn't it? To open our hearts to desire and to hope and to joy once again after so much suffering and loss and disappointment. It's a hard thing to do. It's really scary to do. And the fact is, the world is different now. It's not the same as it was 3 years ago. And in many ways, we are moving into a new reality. And in this newness, there's so much promise and possibility. And I don't say that lightly. I know it's come at a cost. But there is still hope. Last poem I have to share is untitled. It's by Christina Rossetti. Everything that is born must die. Everything that can sigh may sing. Rocks in equal balance, low or high, everything. Honeycomb is weighed against the sting. Hope and fear take turns to touch the sky. Height and depth respond, alternating. Oh, my soul, spread wings of love to fly, wings of dove that soars on homebound wing. Love, trust love, till love shall justify everything. Let me read that one more time. It's kind of shorter. Everything that is born must die. Everything that can sigh may sing. Rocks in equal balance, low or high, everything. Honeycomb is weighed against the sting. Hope and fear take turns to touch the sky. Height and depth respond, alternating. Oh my soul, spread wings of love to fly. Wings of dove that soars on homebound wing. love trusts love, till love shall justify everything. Thank you. Take a couple deep breaths in and out. Take note of how you feel, how you're doing. We're going to end our morning here with celebration of communion, the Lord's Supper. And I love that we do this at the end of all of our contemplative services, but I especially love it today. I was thinking just now, reflecting that this simple sacrament, this simple ritual that we have and that we share really does speak to and minister to so many of the ways the pandemic has affected us and wounded us. Where the pandemic bred isolation, the table brings everyone together, sharing a meal together, the most like intimate face-to-face encounter that can be shared. Where the pandemic brought death and endings and loss of life, the broken body and blood of Jesus says, no, death is not the end. It's not the end. And where the pandemic brought division and fracturing and setting people against each other and being unable to just decide on what simple facts are, the table invites everyone to come. And it reaches out to everyone, the lonely, the outcast, the poor, the privileged alike. Says, come, there's a place for all of you here. I love this painting. It's called Eucharist, and I remember the first time I saw it, it just really struck me. I love that kind of modern, everyday depiction of what's actually happening. Here in communion. It's by an artist named Kirsten Van Morick. She's here in California. I want to share what she said, something she shared about some of her work to kind of usher us into this space. If you'd like, you can begin preparing the elements. Pouring the juice. For those seated in the back, I believe there's tables off to the side there. Embedded in our swiftly marching hours, there are moments of worship, clarity, and beauty that refresh us. They are our rest, a secure foothold on a steep and lengthy scramble, a softly lit inn along a dark and dangerous road. These moments buoy us for the journey and remind us that even here around these tables, heaven gently hems us in. These canvases, talking about our art, are meant to snatch up the lovely sacred moments of lives lived faithfully. Since I was a child, I have found inspiration in the beauty of people. There was something I wanted to extract, to release, before I knew what to name it. I sensed that human flesh contains something incalculably valuable, swaddled potential, glowing and desperate to escape through any thinning. These portraits show beings created with a purpose, participating in that purpose. They are icons to inspire faith and celebrate holiness in the mundane. And I'm sure for many of you, just as for me, the past several years have held a lot of the mundane, a lot of waiting, a lot of being stuck in a bedroom, isolating or quarantining somewhere. But even in the mundane, my friends, perhaps even especially in the mundane, there is the presence of God. Those are sacred spaces. I noticed that, and no one asked me to do this actually, but I know there some folks here are doing a book study through Liturgy of the Ordinary, by Tish Harrison Warren, which I haven't read yet, but I've heard enough from it to, I heard enough about it to commend it to you. And I want to share a quote from that book to the ushers as we prepare to partake of the elements here. She says, "Of all the things Jesus could have done, could have chosen to be done in remembrance of him, he chose a meal. He could have asked his followers to do something impressive or mystical, climb a mountain, fast for 40 days, have a trippy sweat lodge ceremony. But instead he picks the most ordinary of acts, eating, through which to be present to his people. He says that the bread is his body and the wine is his blood. He chooses the unremarkable and plain, average and abundant, bread and wine." So my friends, these are the gifts of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. It's the body of Christ, the bread of heaven, the blood of Christ, the cup of salvation. Thank you again so much for being here, and thank you for sharing this space together, and having the courage to enter into this journey and do some really hard work with God today. I want to end with a prayer of shelter and shadow. After this, you're welcome to leave, or if you want to stay a little bit longer and linger, maybe we can leave the painting up a little bit longer. You're welcome to do that as well. We know that sometimes we are alone, and sometimes we are in community. Sometimes we are in shadow, and sometimes we are surrounded by shelter. Sometimes we feel like exiles in our land, in our languages, and in our bodies. And sometimes we feel surrounded by welcome. As we seek to be human together, may we share the things that do not fade: generosity, truth-telling, silence, respect, and love. And may the power we share be for the good of all. We honor God, the source of this rich life, and we honor each other, story full and lovely. Whether in our shadow or in our shelter, may we live well and fully with each other. Amen. Go in peace.